This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Everything's coming up oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. How likely did it seem that we would ever be grateful that oil costs less than $120 a barrel? Probably about when we thought $4 a gallon gas would seem like a bargain. Well, the future is now. Oil's down today thanks to growing global supply and a milder than expected storm in the Gulf of Mexico. That's good news for businesses and drivers and the markets, of course. Wall Street was feeling sour yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.3%, but that cheap oil has Europe singing a happy tune. London's FTSE is up nearly 1.5%. Germany's DAX is up 2.25%. Asia wasn't liking that cheap oil very much, though. Markets there are worried it's a sign of a slowing global economy. Hong Kong's index lost 2.5%. But things there could be looking up later this week. China is getting a big boost from the Olympic Games. President Bush is on his way to the country. This will be his fourth and last visit as president. A lot has changed since his first trip to China. Lisa Chow takes a look at how economic relations have evolved between the two countries.
During President Bush's first term, relations with China took a back seat to wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. In the last 2 years, though, analysts say ties with the Chinese got more attention. China was pressured to more fully comply with World Trade Organization commitments. As a result, American investors got more access to Chinese markets. It also helped to have a new U.S. Treasury Secretary who understood China. William McCahill is with the research firm J.L. McGregor.
The arrival of Hank Paulson, who knows the Chinese and has spent a great deal of time here as an investment banker, had relationships. But more important, the fact that finally in Washington you had someone at top levels who cared about the relationship.
But McCahill says the two countries need to address broader questions on the environment, energy, and human rights. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
Air pollution won't be the only challenge facing athletes at the Olympic Games this week. Authorities have been battling an army of pesky locals, and as Stephen Beard reports, they've hired a British company to help.
Beijing's own pest controllers have been hard at work, trying to curb the rats, mice, cockroaches, and mosquitoes that infest the city at this time of year. The authorities have allowed in one foreign company to help, Rentokil from Britain. The company now has a team of 150 technicians in the Chinese capital, armed with some impressive technology, like the radar mousetrap. Company spokesman Malcolm Padley claims it's the smartest mousetrap in the world.
A mouse will walk in, break two infrared beams, the doors will shut behind it, a blast of CO2 will knock it out quicker than an Olympic sprinter, and then it will even send a text message or email alert to the local technician.
This being the year of the rat in China, Rentokil has its fingers crossed. A vermin-free Olympics could lead to more contracts in other Chinese cities. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
YouTube will have its own piece of Olympic action. The website will get about 3 hours of Olympic content every day during the Games, courtesy of the International Olympic Committee. About 200 people are expected to tune in, and YouTube will be able to sell its very own Olympic ad time.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org.
This week, the Food and Drug Administration finalized stricter rules for its physician advisors and the financial ties they can have to drug companies. Now Congress wants to make similar changes at the National Institutes of Health. Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Say you're a well-known university researcher. You get a grant from the National Institutes of Health to conduct a drug safety trial. You're also getting consulting fees from the company that makes the drug. Under current law, all you have to do is tell your university if the company pays you more than $10,000 a year. There's no checking. It's an honor system. Iowa Republican Senator Charles Grassley.
There's a buddy-buddy relationship in the research community that has gone to the point of where there can be conflicts of interest that are really detrimental.
So Grassley introduced the Physician Payments Sunshine Act. It would require drug makers to report to the government any payments to doctors over $500 a year. And just yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration announced new conflict of interest regulations that are even tougher than Congress requires. Doctors getting more than $50,000 a year from drug companies are prohibited from serving on advisory committees, with rare exceptions. Those taking home less than that can get a waiver. Randall Lutter is the FDA's Deputy Commissioner for Policy.
Of course, in order to serve, you have to subject yourself to a financial colonoscopy.
But critics say the waivers weaken the rules. They say there are experts out there with no conflicts of interest. Susan Wood is a former FDA official who's currently a professor at George Washington University.
We have 125 medical schools in this country that grant MDs, and there are close to 150,000 people available.
Jeffrey Lerner of the ECRI Institute says Wood has a point, but so does the government, which doesn't want to scare away top researchers.
A lot of times people working for an industry know a tremendous amount about that particular drug or device, and you want to capture that expertise.
Some conflicts, he says, just might be unavoidable. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And this final note, there's no such thing as a free lunch, or a free soda, or a free blanket on airlines these days. Last week, U.S. Airways began charging for coffee and water. This week, JetBlue announced it will start charging for pillows and blankets. And today, it looks like we'd better get used to packing light. Delta is doubling the fee for a second piece of luggage from $25 to $50. The carrier will also announce today that it's going to start offering Wi-Fi on some domestic flights for about $10. Ah, the price of email addiction. Speaking of which, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.